today as we come to the table.
Many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" Now, I agree it's a hard saying, but this is where the test comes in. Because I may have said some things already that are hard for you to hear, but this is where the test comes in. Are you going to follow him anyway? What are you facing right now? You don't feel God as much as you used to. Or maybe you don't understand why he's allowing this situation in your life. What are you going to do? You going to walk away? Or are you going to stay? If you've seen God's faithfulness in your life in the past, you'll stay. If you haven't seen that, you may be tempted to walk away. Here's my encouragement to you. Don't walk away. Stay and see the faithfulness of the Lord. He will be faithful.
It's difficult to go through times in our faith when we don't feel God's presence as much as we used to, isn't it? It's also difficult to wrestle with why God is allowing pain and struggle to happen in our lives. What if we sense God calling us to do something challenging? It's tempting to pull away from God in the hard times. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will encourage you to stay faithful to God. Recall all the times that God has proved himself to you in the past. Remember that he knows what he's doing more than you do. Stand firm in the knowledge that the God of all creation loves you and wants only the best things for you. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 6, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
I'm the bread. I'm the flesh that you have to eat. I'm the one you have to look to. And so, again, they're quarreling among themselves. But remember, in this culture, this was as repulsive to them as it would be for us. I mean, can you imagine if the Lord was here today and say we were all unbelievers and gathering for the first time? Who is this new teacher that's in town? And he stood up in the pulpit and said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me." How many of us would leave? Now, unless God had touched us and we had seen his example already, probably most of us would leave, in all honesty. But what we're going to find is his testimony went before him. They knew who he was. They'd seen him. They saw his power. "We know who you are, Lord. We know by living with you that you're something special. So although I don't understand this, I believe you." Now, that's going to be his disciples, the closest disciples. But the Jews and the disciples that were just there for what God could give them, they're going to all thin out here very shortly. And so it's a challenge to them. They're quarreling. How can this man, they're just thinking again in the fleshly sense and not the spiritual sense. And Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Now this is where it gets tough. Jesus is saying some hard things. What are you going to do with it? Again, I bring you back to some of the cultural issues. You're sharing on the street corner. You're sharing at work. And somebody says, "Well, I live this way and I have lived this lifestyle. I think that's okay. Do you think I'll go to heaven?" There's a moment of truth for you. Now, I'm not saying you immediately, you know, start, you know, just preaching hellfire and damnation. Jesus was gentle. He said, "You know, I'm the bread that came from heaven." You might want to start out gently and say, "Well, you know what? Jesus loves you. And Jesus died for you." But Jesus did say some things in heaven that does divide who gets to go to heaven and who doesn't get to go. And the thing you're talking about, although the Bible says Jesus loves you, it says you can't go to heaven if you live that way. And so then they have a choice to make. Are they going to walk away and say, "Well, I don't want your Jesus. I want nothing to do with him"? I remember somebody telling me that one time. "If that's your Jesus, I want nothing to do with him." And I'm thinking, how sad. Because what do you mean if that's my Jesus? There's only one. There's only one. This isn't pick your Jesus day. And yet, don't we do that in our culture? Many different religions, many different groups. "Well, I think Jesus would never condemn someone for..." Well, it doesn't matter what we think, does it? It matters what he says. And it matters which Jesus we have. If your Jesus allows you to do things that the Bible says are sin, and he doesn't have a problem with it, you've got the wrong Jesus. The real Jesus loves you, but he draws a line in the sand. And he says, "You know what? Hard things. Unless you do this, you can't enter the kingdom of God. And now he's saying to these guys, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. Now again, he's talking about the symbolism again here would be evident to those who were in tune with the Spirit. And that is in the sacrifices, they would sacrifice animals. And what you would do is you would bring your animal, especially the Passover. You'd bring your lamb, which Jesus said he was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. You would bring your Passover lamb. You would sacrifice the lamb, and then you would give part of it to God, and you would eat part of it. Now, not in the Passover. You would eat all that lamb. But at the sacrifices, you would oftentimes give lambs, or depending on what kind of offering it was, you would offer part of it to God and would burn it on the altar. The other part, you and your family would eat, or whoever was making the sacrifice. And it was symbolic of becoming one with the Lord. You're becoming one. He represents the sacrifice, and now you're eating of that. And so, Lord, we're one together. So there's a symbolism the Lord is drawing on, but no one ever took it to the point of eating my flesh and drinking my blood. That wasn't his point. He's, again, as we said, thinning out the crowd. Who's going to follow me? Not for what I can give them or I can entertain them, but simply because they love me and believe my word. Now, look at verse 54. He says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. That is, you become one with me, you'll have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. That is, the word abide means stays in me, and I stay in him. If we keep that regular communion together, that regular life together. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. And again, note the words, feeds on me. He's speaking in that spiritual sense. He who feeds on me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate of the manna and are dead. That was a physical thing. He who eats of this bread will live forever. And these things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. So they're confronting him. They're in the synagogue. He's actually there and they're gathered around him. Lord, what are you doing? We don't think you're who you said you are. He begins to say these harsh sayings. And again, this is not something he said on the street corner. This is in church. He's saying it to the crowds, those that had gathered in synagogue. And so, again, understand the Lord's boldness. He wants everyone to know clearly. He wasn't trying to build a following. He was trying to inhabit the kingdom. And so that's why he said these things. And so, again, he did this to find out who truly loved him and who truly didn't. And he caused this division to force those that are in the middle to one side or the other. Listen, some of you may be walking right in the middle. You've got to make a choice. The days we're living in, and before you die, and really God is urging you to make a choice today, you need to get on the side of the Lord. You need to make up your mind. Are you on the side of the world, or are you on the side of the Lord? I remember Pastor Xavier Reese saying one time, he said, you know what, it's like people that walk on that fence. He said, they're going to keep walking on it, but as we get closer and closer into the last days, he said, it's going to get thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner. Why? Because we're all thinners. Anyway, thinner, and I'm sorry. I don't know why I said that, but it woke you up. It broke them, you know. Until it becomes a razor blade. And once it's a razor blade, you can't stand on it any longer. You've got to jump to one side or the other. Guys, our culture today is making us walk on a razor blade. What are you saying? You say that's sin? Well, who do you think you are? You hater? Really? I don't want to be called a hater. Nobody wants to be called a hater. I'm not a hater. And we find ourselves getting a little bit skinnier on that little bar. You know, we kind of put both feet on it. I'm not really a hater, but I love Jesus, but I don't hate. And finally, it's going to get to a point to where it's going to be, I can't stand here any longer. I've got to jump on the side with Christ and say, you know what? I don't hate you. I love you. But I have to speak the truth to you. And the truth is, this will keep you from the kingdom of God. And they're going to call you names. They're going to attack you. That's just part of it. By the way, Jesus said this. Are you ready for this? Here's your scripture for the day with a little happy face for your refrigerator. Woe to you if everyone likes you. Woe to you if everyone likes you. Now, I'm joking about that. That's not the one you want to put on the fridge with the happy face. That's one we have to just swallow and accept. The bottom line is, Jesus said that if everyone likes us, we're doing something wrong. Yes, we love everyone, and we want as many people to like us. That's human nature. But if we're going to stand on the truth and teach the word of God, there's going to be a lot of people that don't like us. And if we advance the kingdom of God, there's going to be a lot of people that don't like us. But we have to make up our mind. Am I going to stand with the Lord or am I going to stand in the world? Guys, the choice has to be made. And Jesus here is forcing the choice. He's saying, this is it. There's no middle ground. It's interesting in Revelation, Jesus actually goes so far as to say this. I wish you were hot or cold. In other words, I wish you were either all in for me or I wish you were all out. He says, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Those are heavy words. That's a hard saying. You know, I always said we're going to say the hard sayings of Jesus, do a teaching one day, just the hard sayings of Jesus. You know, this is a hard saying of Jesus. Even if I'm living halfway lukewarm, it makes you want to vomit. That's exactly what Jesus said. He says, I'd rather you just go for it in the world than to pretend you're a Christian and be a bad testimony. No, go for it in me. Follow me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and I'll fill you with joy and give you your place in the kingdom. This is what the Lord says. And so if you don't understand it, you don't have to understand it. Something I've learned over the years is you don't have to understand everything the Lord's doing to know that he loves you. Don't give up, as I said, what you don't understand for what you do. Stand on the truth of God's word. And it may be challenging for some of you guys this morning as we talk about this, because maybe some of you are standing on the fence. Maybe some of you haven't yet made that commitment. The Lord is challenging you. Get off the fence. Make the commitment. Maybe some of you are saying, you know what, I don't understand what God is doing and all these things that he's saying here. I don't understand this. And in this particular passage, you may understand it more now because we're talking about it, but God's doing something else you don't understand. And God's challenging you. Are you going to walk away because you don't understand? Because that's what a large group of these guys are going to do. And we're going to see that in just a moment. Now, it's interesting here in verse 58, the word eating here. The Lord says, the bread that came down from heaven, those your fathers ate and are dead. He who eats this bread, he uses two different words there for ate and eating. The first word, when he speaks of them eating the manna, means to simply eat food, to consume food. You eat it and it's gone. The second word he used refers to himself, to feed upon, which indicates a continual action of feeding, which what he's saying is he wants us not just to temporarily taste the Lord and see that he's good, so to speak, but to feed on him on a regular basis as a regular part of our life. In the word, in prayer, staying with Jesus, feeding in him, growing, feeding on him. That's the point that he's making. And so now he's laid out some hard things. Watch what the people do. He's dividing up those who are real and those who are just there for what they can get. Look at verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Now, I agree it's a hard saying, but this is where the test comes in. Because I may have said some things already that are hard for you to hear, but this is where the test comes in. Are you going to follow him anyway? What are you facing right now? You don't feel God as much as you used to. Or maybe you don't understand why he's allowing this situation in your life. What are you going to do? You going to walk away? Or are you going to stay? If you've seen God's faithfulness in your life in the past, you'll stay. If you haven't seen that, you may be tempted to walk away. Here's my encouragement to you. Don't walk away. Stay and see the faithfulness of the Lord. He will be faithful. And so they're like, who could? This is hard. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? It's interesting, you know, the Lord challenges us oftentimes. Are there certain things we find in the Bible that offends us? A lot of people say that. They say, well, that offends me. I remember one time praying at an event, and all I did was say, in Jesus' name. And some lady comes running up to me going, that offended me that you prayed in Jesus. I'm like, who am I praying to, first of all? Let's kind of get the facts in order. And I'm sorry you're offended, but that's who I serve. I mean, I remember thinking in my mind going, it so shocked me. I don't think I said anything to her. I just kind of looked at her like, you're offended? Because I said, I prayed in Jesus' name. It's like, but what do you say to that? I thought of all kinds of clever things to say after that, but I didn't say anything at the moment. And I'm glad probably, you know, God did that so I wouldn't be a smart aleck. But do the sayings of Jesus offend you? What if Jesus says, I'm sorry, nobody can go to heaven except by me and by the scriptures as I'm talking about in the Bible. You can't get there by Islam. You can't. You won't go to heaven. You won't go to heaven through Buddhism. You won't go to heaven through Krishna or through Jehovah's Witness. You won't go to heaven. If you're a Mormon, you won't go to heaven. Now, could somebody in those groups get saved and be deceived? I think that's possible. I don't want to rule that out. But I'm saying, as a rule for that movement and what they believe, you're not going to get in. Can you just be spiritual and go to heaven? You won't get in. You won't get in. Now, why is that interesting? Again, because that's a hard saying. What do we do when the Lord says hard sayings to us? What do we do? Well, we have to either make up a choice. Are we going to leave? Or are we going to receive? And now he's putting the disciples in this particular situation because he wants them to make that choice. They need to make that choice. And notice what he says here, verse, again, 62. He says, what if you see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? In other words, if you don't believe this, what if we're back in the kingdom and the exact rule of the kingdom is in place? What are you going to do with that? Is it the Spirit who gives life? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they're life. But there's some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. Now notice this. Again, Jesus declaring to them that he knew some following him were real and some were fake. And now it's time to sort the crowd out. Flush them out. Find out who's real. Find out who's not. And the question is he flushing some of us out in our hearts? Are there challenges going on? Maybe again, by some of the statements I've made, where are you in that? Is this my opinion or does the word say that? And so now they have to decide, who is this rabbi, Jesus? Is this just his opinion or is this God telling him what to say? And so again, the Lord will always bring us to a place of decision. And notice it says here, he knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. Now, this is interesting. There's a lot of verses in Scripture that do this, where we see really the sovereignty of God and the choice of man come into play. This is one of them. You know, I think we make a mistake, and I know there's a debate in the church, you know, about the predestination, sovereignty of God, and all the issues that go with that, or can you walk away and leave your salvation, or all the arguments that go there. And I personally believe if you go too far to either side, you're making a mistake. You're going to be lopsided either way you go, because the bottom line is the Bible teaches both. It teaches predestination and the sovereignty of God, but it also teaches the choice of man. And now we see one of these situations where it says right here, he knew from the beginning. He knew from the beginning who would accept and who would reject. He knew that. But now it's time to give them a choice to act on it. What are you going to do? I know who's going to, because I'm God. I see things from the beginning to end. But what are you going to do with this information? And we're going to see, sadly, that many of them choose to walk away and they leave the Lord after they find out what their choice is. He said to them, therefore, I've said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father. And again, there's a key here when you come to witnessing. Unless God draws someone, they can't come to Christ. Guys, note that. It is God's Spirit that draws the person in. So what do? When we're talking with them, when we're sharing with them, we pray, Lord, open their eyes. Lord, draw them to yourself. God, make yourself known to them. And as we do that and God lifts the veil from their eyes, God draws them in and now they can make a choice. But unless God draws them, they can't come. So we pray, God, draw them and God open their eyes so they can see. We did that and someone coming up saying, please pray, you know, for someone in my family that God would open their eyes and draw them. And so the Lord says here, unless you're drawn in, you're not going to come. It's granted. But again, it goes back to that whole thing in verse 64 where Jesus knew from the beginning who had been granted to. But now it's time for them to act on it, to make a choice in relation to it. Verse 66, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. What a sad verse. All right, if it's going to be hard to follow Jesus, I'm out of here. This is not for me. If this works for you guys, great, but I'm out of here. And the Lord gives us that choice, guys. Listen, it's a joy to walk with the Lord, but it also means that we get off the fence and stand on one side or the other. And when we do that, the world's not going to like us. The world's going to reject us. And so we have to make a choice. Do we want the world to like us or do we want God to like us? These guys here were really just in it for the food. I think their motive was, okay, you're not going to give us what we want. We're not going to get everything we're asking for and you're not going to be everything we thought you were supposed to be. Then we're just out of here. We're going to leave. But again, it's not about giving the people what they wanted. It was giving them the truth so they could get into the kingdom of God. Again, this is where the rubber hits the road with when it comes to true Christianity and the hard sayings of Jesus. And one more thing I want to point out before I go on from this, because, you know, we talked about last week how Jesus wasn't really a seeker-friendly pastor. He wasn't really trying to please the crowds. I mean, if you were a seeker-friendly pastor and you wanted to please the crowds, this would not be something to be saying. And if you did say something and you saw a group of people start to leave, it would be a thing where you go, well, wait, let me further explain. This is what it is. Notice this. Jesus did not run after these guys. He didn't chase them down and say, let me explain. He just said, look, you have a choice to make. It's either following Jesus for what he said or not following him. And he let them go. And so I appreciate that in the Lord. I love that about the Lord because it's this whole, I'm in this thing or I'm not. And so he challenges them. And notice then it says, Jesus said to the 12. Now I love the way this scene changes. Big groups of people get up and leave the church would be a way to say this. Okay, you're in the middle of church. A big group gets up and leaves because something hard has been said and they don't agree with it or whatever. And there's a few people that are left there and they stay. And the Lord turns and looks at them and says, are you going to leave as well? What are you going to do? I mean, think about it. He's giving them the choice. Are you going to stick it out? Are you going to bolt like everyone else? He says to the 12, do you also want to go away? Look at this. Great answer, Peter. But Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I love it. We give Peter a hard time about a lot of failed tests in his life. But this one, I would say, test passed. Peter just knocked it out of the ballpark. He understands that even though he doesn't understand, how about that? He understands that even though he doesn't understand, Jesus is the answer. He's the one that holds the answers. And how is Peter so sure? Because the word it uses here when it says, we know that you hold the words of life, it's the word in the language gnosko. And what that word means is we know by experience. Here's the point. We've lived with you long enough to find out that everything you say is right and true. And although I don't have any clue what you're talking about right now in this whole eating flesh and drinking blood thing, even though I don't understand it, and even though it's a hard thing to swallow, it's a hard saying to grasp, you know what? I'm going to follow you. I'm not going anywhere. And see, that's the challenge for us. Are we going to choose to follow even when it gets tough? In some of the hard sayings of Jesus, especially in our culture today, are we going to walk away? And that's only something you can answer in your heart. That's only a test that you can pass or fail, depending on your response to the Lord. But the Lord wanted to know from these guys, what are you going to do? And so now he gets the answer he wanted from Peter, and Peter answers from all of them, kind of being the leader. Lord, we have learned by experience that you're the one who does these things. And so we're not going anywhere. And then notice what Jesus said. Look at this. Jesus answered and said, did I not choose you the 12? And one of you is a devil. Now, he's not saying that, again, speaking of Judas quite obviously, but he's not saying Judas is the devil. He's simply saying that he's being inspired by the devil. And this is interesting to me because we talked about this whole issue of God's sovereignty and man's choice. Notice what he said. The word here means to choose or elect. He says, I've chosen and elected all 12 of you, but one of you is not going to choose me. He's going to betray me. And his name is Judas. And he's saying, are you going to betray me as well? What are you going to do with this information? Guys, this is where it leaves us today. Here's the bottom line. God doesn't make anybody follow him by force. But if you're here today and you don't know the Lord and God has now opened your eyes and granted you repentance, he's drawing you in. You need to respond to it. Because when we see in Scripture, the Bible says that as you harden your heart, it's interesting you look at Pharaoh in the Scripture. It says that God kept sending Moses to Pharaoh. And what did Pharaoh do? Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Numerous times it says that Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then there's a sudden word change that's very daunting and very eerie in the sense that suddenly Pharaoh goes so far down the road, it says, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And the word in the language means solidified. What it means is God said, that's the choice you want? I'm solidifying it. And now you can't change it. Guys, that's scary. Because what that tells me is this. God gives opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. But if we continue to reject, continue to reject, continue to reject, at some point God agrees with our choice. He says, that's what you want. I'll agree with it. It's solidified. I think for most people that doesn't happen until we die. But there are rare cases like Pharaoh's and others. I believe we can harden our hearts so hard by rejecting the drawing of the Holy Spirit that now there's no more chance even this side of heaven. So here's my appeal to you. Make the right choice today. If God is drawing you in, respond to it. Don't let your heart get harder where God agrees with your heart. Say, God, right now you've got my heart. I give it to you. And I want to also say to those of us that are believers in here, the other challenge that I think God's laying out for us is this. Are you in a situation you don't understand and you're being tempted now to blame God for it or walk away? Don't do that. Don't throw away what you know God has been faithful in the past. You've seen God's faithfulness. Although you don't understand it, stay faithful to him. He will be faithful to you.
You've been listening to Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark has been teaching through the book of John. John was a disciple of Jesus during his 3 years of ministry. John became one of the most influential apostles following Jesus' death and resurrection. He experienced much during his lifetime, including witnessing miracles, running to an empty tomb, and being tortured for his faith. Wouldn't it be neat to meet John and hear his account of what happened? Thankfully, he wrote much of it down, but he even stated that there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. That's how the end of the book of John concludes. What a thing to think about. That books could not contain all that could be known about Jesus and what he did here on earth. Thank goodness we have a small glimpse into what happened, and it can strengthen our faith day by day. If you have a question about what you heard today, you can give us a call at 865-609-1385. That's 865-609-1385. If you'd like to listen to this message again, you can easily download the Way Media app from our website, thewaymedia.net. Come to the Table is a ministry based out of Calvary, Knoxville. And we hope you found today's message encouraging and insightful into the heart of Jesus. Please join us again next time as Pastor Mark has more to share from the New Testament book of John here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.